Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm wonderful today. How are you guys?
We are wonderful as well. Corey, what did you think of that Super Bowl last night? The Rams get it done 23-20. Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp come up big on the last drive, and then Aaron Donald slams the door. What did you think of that one last night?
You know, I thought it looked a lot like I expected it to look. I thought in the end the Rams' defensive front against the Bengals' offensive front would be the difference, and it was. What do they have, 6-7 sacks, and you know, ultimately Aaron Donald closes it out on the last play. I think the Bengals had 3 shots at a yard at the end, but they couldn't stop Aaron Donald and company. It was a good game. You know, it was a good game. You know, I think the OBJ injury was a big moment in it, but the Rams overcame it. They made plays. It was, like I said, it was a good game. It lived up to what you want the Super Bowl to be.
Well, let's get right to our Twitter argument, Corey. And remember, okay, you aligned yourself with Jared. I just want to point that out to you.
That's fine, because I would have felt this way even if Jared had not said anything. So, go ahead.
Okay, so let me throw out Matthew Stafford's on pace here to finish top 5 in yards and touchdowns. He now has this ring, not just this ring, but a ring that includes 3 drives by him that were extremely clutch. I still think the most impressive was the big play to Kupp after it looked like they were going to completely blow the Tampa Bay game.
The Bucs. Yeah, it was big. No, you're right.
But a tremendous postseason, which, to me, I think a lot of people thought one thing of him because they never watched him in Detroit and probably think something different. But I think if that happens, if he stays in this and he's in that range – in terms of overall statistical achievement, I think he's easily in the Hall of Fame. You disagree?
Yeah, you know. Listen, we'll see what happens in the next 3 or 4 years. If he puts 3 or 4, you know, electric years and championships on the board and stuff, then yeah. But I just think to this point, I think that's putting the cart before the horse, because you know how long has the guy been around? 7, 8 years.
Oh, probably longer than that. Yeah. He's like 11th all-time in yards.
Yeah, okay. But so in that time, when we've talked about the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, who are the names that we have said? Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, Rivers, Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson. Whose name never came up in that conversation? Matthew Stafford. And now all of a sudden we want to put him in the Hall of Fame? He's been in the league all this time. He's never been mentioned among the elite quarterbacks in the league. And now we're going to stick him in the Hall of Fame. There are plenty of guys. Kerry Collins threw for like over 40 or 70 or whatever thousand yards, a ton of yards. Kerry was a good football player for a long time. Matthew Stafford's been a good football player. And he did have a great postseason. I'm not taking away from it. This was definitely a step in the right direction to get him there. I will say that without question. But it's not the Hall of Good. It's the Hall of Fame. It's for the greatest players of all time, and we have never mentioned him with the greatest players in the league. And I mean, yes, he had a good postseason. Like I said, it takes him in the right direction right now. But I can't all of a sudden say because he had one good playoff run that he's a Hall of Famer. Because if that was the case, Joe Flacco could be in the Hall of Fame too.
Well, but see, here's the thing. It is the Hall of Good in a lot of cases with quarterbacks. That's the problem.
But it shouldn't be.
Well, that's fine. But, I mean, if you want to – again, one of my heroes is Dan Fouts. Go look at what he did.
I love Dan Fouts, man.
He had more picks than touchdowns. I mean, Joe Namath was not remotely – it's a different era. And Dan Fouts compiled yardage. But there's a lot of guys in there who
– Terry Bradshaw.
Absolutely. I mean, he got 4 rings.
And also was on an unbelievable roster as well. You're right, you know, but it is, it's different eras. The expectations of the position are completely different now than they were then, you know. And so, you know, if he's up in the Hall of Fame balloting, and he's against Brees or Brady or Rodgers or Manning, or, and I'm talking about Eli Manning, or Rivers or Roethlisberger, who is going to get the vote?
I think like Stafford and Rivers. If he's where he might
Philip
be.
Rivers.
Oh boy.
Even without the Super Bowl, I think people have more respect for Philip Rivers' career than they do for Matthew Stafford's at this point.
But you know how much rings matter. Rings completely define or undefine careers.
Quarterbacks especially. You're absolutely right. We always say if Steve McMahon and Eddie George had a ring, they'd probably be in, but they're not. And so that is a very big moment. And I agree that this takes him in the right direction. I just don't view him as a Hall of Fame player at this point. Like I said, if he has four more great years and he hoists the Lombardi one more time and has the MVP, then yeah, he's going to stake a claim. I mean, Eli Manning was the MVP of both his Super Bowl victories. He was good last night. He wasn't the best player for the Rams. He wasn't the second best player for the Rams.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, we talked about this earlier in the show. The reports out there this weekend from Chris Mortensen that Indy may be looking to move on from Carson Wentz, whether that's via trade before March 18th or cutting him and releasing him. What's your reaction to that? And if you're a Titans fan, does that scare you? Do you like that? What's the next shoe to drop for Indy if they move on for Carson Wentz?
Well, I mean, they murdered the guy after the season.
They did.
I don't know how they can do any other thing. I mean, you know, the only other thing they could do is give him a contract that says we don't believe in you, like the just like the Jaguars did with Blake Bortles, and we saw how that one turned out. Listen, the moment they came to the podium after their season ended, they had made their decision on Carson Wentz, that they were done. If you're the Titans, it's terrible because you like a guy who you know is going to lose football games for the Colts. You know, now they'll take another swing at it. We'll see if they go for another guy who's proven he can't do it anymore, or if they try to turn the page and get a quarterback of the future. But it is not surprising at all. It's the right decision for them. But, you know, maybe we'll see. They'll find out what a lot of teams have found out, that finding a Hall of Fame caliber player for 20 consecutive years or 25 consecutive years at that position just isn't that easy for every team. You know, the Colts and the Packers are a little bit of an anomaly, possibly.
Yeah, no question. Well, so here's the thing. I think you're right, Corey. The things they said, I mean, it's pretty obvious they're unhappy with Carson Wentz, and how could you not feel that way after the way things ended? But if you're just moving on from him without, like, you could still do a lot worse than him, right? I mean, he still won you some games this year. He's still, you know, I know it's always like, well, if you just can clean up those mistakes, but of course at some point that's what a player is. But I just don't understand why they would do this if they aren't taking a big swing, if they don't feel, you know what I mean? I mean, who are you going to get who's a, I guess you could try to get a game manager who's a little safer. But I'm struggling to come up with those names too.
Well, it's kind of like the Tannehill conversation, but it's not quite the same. And that is, if the guy's not going to win you the Super Bowl, what's the point, right? If he's not going to win you the Super Bowl, what's the point of having him around? You got to find somebody who can. But you also have to have somebody who can take the steps and not embarrass you. You don't want Jacoby Brissett back there. You know, you want some guy who can play the position. And there were moments where he was okay. I mean, there was, I can't remember which game it was late in the season, where he made a couple of big throws down the stretch and people, you know, anointed him, you know, reborn, and Carson Wentz was back and the Colts were going to win the Super Bowl. But it turned out he was just Carson Wentz. But, I mean, to me, you're just spinning your wheels. You know, so they have to have a plan. They had to have had a plan the moment they went out there and assassinated him on the podium, that they were going to go forth with. I agree with you. I don't know what it is, but they're going to take a swing at something, whether it's in the draft or in free agency. You know, is it Trubisky? Is it Mariota? Is it, you know, taking a Matt Corral in the draft? I don't know. We're going to see. But they're going to have a new quarterback, and they've got to find someone who makes them a contender, not just with the Titans, but with Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow. And I know this, Carson Wentz isn't that guy.
Corey, we've heard this phrase tossed around a ton throughout, you know, your history of watching the NFL, watching sports. It's a copycat league. And I look at the league the last 2 years. The Bucks go all in with Brady. They win the Super Bowl. The Rams, in a different way of doing it, go all in with Stafford. They win the Super Bowl. Do we think that teams, as you move forward here, maybe a little less concerned about the draft picks like the Rams were and maybe more concerned about maximizing your window right now? Do we think this starts a new trend in the NFL?
Well, I think, you know, both of those teams also had the Super Bowl in their building that year.
Yep.
So I think there's something to that, and they were all in for that. But I think what's interesting about that is you have two different generational coaches for that, Bruce Arians and Sean McVay, because we associate what you're talking about with all the young guys and all the young guys not valuing draft picks as much and being willing to trade away draft picks to bring in players and, you know, kind of, you know, finagle the cap and get where they need to go. So I do think we're going to see a lot more of that. And, you know, just look at the Titans in their first round picks. You know, it hasn't been awesome. You know, Corey Davis, Rashawn Evans, Adoree Jackson played a lot of football for them, helped them win some games, but they did, in the end didn't prove to be, you know, first round. They didn't prove to be Micah Parsons, right? You know, first round difference makers for them. So are you better off taking swings like that or bringing in Jalen Ramsey, you know, lockdown corner and knowing what you're getting? You know, and I think some people might be more inclined to say, I'm going to take the guarantee. I'm going to take the guarantee over the, you know, because if you miss on a guy, he's a 5-year miss or a 4-year miss. You know, he's not a 1-year miss. You know, Carson Wentz, the Colts took a gamble on him, but he's a 1-year miss. You know, it's not a decision that they're going to have to live with for the next 4 or 5 years. And going, gosh, I wish we'd done better on that one. And so I think, you know, in this generation, especially with the cap being higher, it's easier to finagle. And so I do think you're going to see more teams take more shots. And look, I don't want player movement to be like baseball and even basketball at this point to some degree, because you like to have some type of, I don't know, familiarity with your team and knowing who's exactly on it from year to year. And you have some allegiance so you can buy a jersey for more than 7 games. But I do think that some player movement in the league is good, and I think that the we see that now it's good, and I think we will see more of it. And I think more teams are going to be willing to take more chances because the formula has been proven to work 2 years in a row.
Hey, did you see the Jeff Simmons, Quentin Spain Twitter battle, Corey?
I didn't read what Jeff wrote. I saw some of Quentin's, you know. And, you know, you have to know that when you run your mouth, you know, in the earlier rounds, I mean, Eli Apple got it too. He got it from Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman. You got to know you better be prepared to finish or you're going to get it on the other end. Also, you might actually want to be a better player. you know, because they gave up, like, a record amount of sacks in the postseason. And look, I like Quentin Spain when he was here. But there's a reason the Titans released him. There's a reason the Bills released him. And there's a reason that the Bengals might have the worst offensive line of any team to ever play in the Super Bowl. And by the way, if they don't invest all their draft picks on offensive linemen, Joe Burrow should just refuse to report to camp because they're going to get him killed and end his career early.
Corey, happy Valentine's Day. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Happy Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Big plans? Big plans?
You know, the wife is packing up the Valentine's treats for the little one at school today. I spray painted a box red for her to take.
Nice.
It's a big day. We're ready to go.
This is a big day. Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rexro. Corey, appreciate you, man.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Robbie.
Absolutely. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Corey had to say there. Welcome your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexford here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Corey Curtis for joining us in the last segment. Little disagreement between you and Corey about Matthew Stafford and the Hall of Fame. It's a big talking point, especially here locally.
Yeah.
Team Stillman and Curtis.
Yeah.
Against Team Rex Road.
Ganging up on me. Yeah, again, it's just I think that the fundamental, like, it's really important to understand. Like, I am not saying Matthew Stafford is top 10 all-time quarterback, one of the all-time greats. But I am saying that he's put himself in position to be in Canton, and you don't have to be the absolute top of the top to be in Canton. Maybe you can argue that you should and that you don't like it, but if you look at who's gotten in, and again, you have to project. I think right now, if the career ended, I don't know. I think it'd be close.
I don't think he gets in.
I think there's a good chance he wouldn't get in. If he ends up in the top five in passing yards and passing touchdowns. And I think what Corey and I differ also is, and I would think Corey as a Bears fan would have said, I think Matthew Stafford did elevate the Lions and was really good and was on terrible teams, playing for a terrible franchise. And, you know, I think his win-loss record is counted against him. You know, I struggle with that because I think a lot of those wins were – almost solely on him, especially after Calvin Johnson retired.
I was going to say, earlier in his career, I mean, you did have maybe the best football player in the NFL on the team with you.
No question. But that's where I was – I mean, actually, my opinion of him improved after that because he continued to light it up. I mean, you know, the talent's spectacular. The fair questions about whether he could do it in these games, in these moments, I mean, he just answered it with flying colors. But we'll see.
Sean on the text line says, Joe, this isn't baseball. You have to compare quarterbacks of the era, and Stafford isn't top five. It's coming from Sean on the text line.
And I texted him back and said, you don't have to be top five. Again, Eli Manning, it's kind of similar. The two rings, I think, make it a lot easier for him to get in. But there's going to be people who don't like that. And he was never a top five quarterback in his era, ever.
I agree.
And he will be in. But we'll see. Also, I got some text line stuff here, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, that really upsets me. Well, first of all, this doesn't upset me, but someone came in with marching band is also a sport on the discussion about competitive cheer. You and I would both disagree with this. Marching band, they have competitions, but again, that's playing music. I mean, it's competition. It's entertainment. There is precision in your movements and things like that, but I would not qualified that is a sport. Maybe that's kind of like where the line
drawing the line there.
And Michelle's agreeing with me on this.
Yes, I agree.
Meanwhile, okay, cheerleading. Okay, unnamed text. Cheerleading isn't a sport, bro. I'm reading it in the appropriate voice. I don't know who this is. You should announce yourself and admit it. But other texts from this person. You're the man, Jared. Here's one that you'll like, except Beatles are garbage. Music is just noise. So
no,
Beatles and all of music are garbage. So
all of music sucks.
Brady going to the 49ers. There's a lot of gems here, but yes, competitive cheer is one of the most difficult sports in the world to perform. The end.
Indy Ben texting in says, if you disagree with Stillman, you're probably right. Don't even get me started on his awful Colts takes. This is coming from our friend Indy Ben on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Well, I was wondering what Indy Ben thought about this whole Wentz thing.
Yeah.
Weigh in, Indy Ben. Don't just complain about others' takes. Give yours. Because I'm really interested in this idea. I get it. But then what is the plan? And maybe Corey's right. Maybe this is calculated. It felt to me like right afterward it was more emotion of you're just really upset. And you're
They're pretty strong, though.
They were, and then there was more later. So that, to me, is like, okay, they are preparing their fans, maybe Wentz himself, for a divorce. But
Jimmy G to the Colts?
That's not a bad thought. And I should have thought of him earlier.
Like, is that really that much better, though? Like, look, I would probably take Jimmy G over Carson Wentz.
I think I would, too.
but Jimmy G can still throw a few death picks. I mean, there's no question about that.
Yeah, he can. I still feel like he's a little bit less likely to do the just the, oh my gosh, doubling over and what are you doing play than Wentz. Now,
probably a little bit less likely.
Little bit less.
I wouldn't go significantly less likely.
He's a little bit more of like a safe game manager, but yeah, he's got those issues sometimes too. But that's at least a viable possibility. I mean, it's hard to come up with many names. Other, you know, the big two who are probably going to be back with their teams.
If you're a Titans fan and Jimmy G is the quarterback of the Colts, what do you think of that? You scared? You in a better spot, worse spot? What do you think?
I think you still feel good about your team's chances to win the AFC South. You know, I think the Titans would be the favorite to win the AFC South. I don't know. That's kind of in the eye of the beholder between Garoppolo and Wentz. Some people would probably think that's a pretty decent upgrade. But that's people who think Wentz never does anything good. I mean, again, he had good games for them.
LD from McMinnville texting in says, did everyone notice how Stafford overcame OBJ going down and still made some clutch throws? It's funny how competent quarterback play works. That's coming from LD from McMinnville.
Yeah, well, and also with Higbee out. So,
yeah.
I mean, when Beckham went out, I thought, like, that could be the game. Like, that could seriously derail, and it clearly changed the game. So that's another thing with Stafford. Basically, he was like, okay, I'm going to force the ball into Cooper Kupp, even if I have to do like no look passes and fit the ball in between three guys to get it to him, and he did.
Andrew on the text line says, I love how the Titans playbook didn't work for the Rams either in the second, third quarter. Run, third and long punt until they decided to throw to Kupp, regardless of coverage they were on their way to losing. This coming from Andrew on the text line. I did see a lot of, especially when they gave the ball to Cooper Kupp on that fourth down in their own territory, which was, by the way, pretty gutsy call there by Sean McVay.
And very nearly
a
fail.
Great cutback by Cooper Kupp on that play. But there are a lot of people like, you see, Todd Downing, that's how you use your best players right there. And I was like, okay, that was about a half second away from being a total disaster. But yeah. Good play by Cooper Kupp there.
And let's not mention let's use Cooper Kupp to throw the ball to Matthew Stafford. Sales one.
Oh, we saw A.J. Brown throw the ball this year, too.
He did.
Not great.
Yeah, it was a nice spiral.
It was a nice spiral.
Kupp had a nice spiral, just sailed it. But again, if he throws an accurate pass there, Matthew Stafford may not finish the game, so probably worked out.
Matt from Camden on the text line. If the Colts move on from Wentz, they've got to be going after a Rodgers or a Wilson, right? This coming from Matt from Camden. I don't know, Mike. The report makes it seem like it's pretty much a formality at this point that Carson Wentz is going to be gone. And if you take Aaron Rodgers at his word, he's not made a decision yet, and we don't know that Russell Wilson's available from the Seahawks at this point. So, like, I don't know how if you're dead set on one of those two guys, if you're Chris Ballard and you're moving on, I mean, obviously he knows things that we don't, but I don't know how you could even know that, especially Rodgers. Like, how do you even know what he's doing at this point?
I don't know. Maybe there's some next-level tampering going on.
Maybe so.
But that's why it's just hard for me to believe that they're
McAfee
just
in the ear of Chris Ballard.
That's
AJ
nice,
Hawk.
It's a nice double agent to have handy for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I agree. Like I would not do this. I'm not happy with Carson Wentz if I'm them. I'd like to have someone better if I'm them. But I'm not just letting him go and saying, okay, who's next? That's not the way to do this.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I'm here with Super Bowl champ Eric Weddle.
Well, say that again.
You're Super Bowl champ Eric Weddle?
Unbelievable. It's hard to imagine, really, because you know, the dream was over for me 5 weeks ago. And now having this opportunity, this second chance, and to make the most of it is pretty kind of speechless, just in awe of the moment right now.
Are you retiring or are you going to try to go back-to-back again?
No, I'm re-retiring.
You are Eric Weddle is officially...
I'm out of here, baby. Re-retiring. What a five-week run for me and this group of men. I'm entrenched in history now, which is... it's just hard to fathom.
You're going to wake up tomorrow and none of this is going to feel real.
I'm going to be in a lot of pain, I can tell you that. That's really what I'm thinking about is my pec that I hurt really bad in the first quarter, but I'll be all right. I'm a world champion. I have about 80 years to, or maybe not 87. I'm going to live to I'm at least 100, so I'm 37, 63 more years that I could rehab this old pec.
You know what, though? You're going down as a champ.
No doubt.
All right, Eric, congratulations.
Great to see you guys.
That was Eric Weddle yesterday, who, by the way, we've not talked about this much. Basically took like 2 years off from football and then 5 weeks ago said, you know what? I'm going to go back and play for the Rams. Yeah. Now he's a Super Bowl champ, and he did tear his pectoral muscle in the game yesterday, so that's not good. But I guess it's worth it if you win the Super Bowl.
I mean, he's out there calling, offenses. I mean, he's out there like leading the way vocally.
Yeah.
Like that. Come right in, playing some pickup hoops, and boom. Pretty amazing. There's quite a few interesting stories out of this, right?
I just love how they can – what a league where you can just, oh yeah, Eric Weddle comes in, week 17, sure, come on in, why not?
37.
Hey, congratulations to him. A lot of guys, their legacy changed a little bit last night. OBJ getting a ring, obviously Cooper Kupp, what he's been able to do this year. It's going to be hard for Cooper Kupp to top this year. You're talking about almost 2,000 yards receiving, offensive player of the year. There are some people think he should have won the MVP, and then he wins the Super Bowl MVP last night. Be difficult to top this one.
He shouldn't have, but yes, he did. And yeah, incredible year. I mean, hell of a player.
Which, by the way, I mean, Cooper Kupp's been a good player for a long time. You think a quarterback can make a difference? Go look at Cooper Kupp's stats in every year prior to this one. I mean, they're good. They're good stats. A couple years ago, he had 94 catches, 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns. It's a good year. This year, 145 catches, 1,947 yards and 16 touchdowns in the regular season.
That's outrageous. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterback, that's a huge difference.
He's pretty good. I'm getting more people pushing back on Stafford. But,
you're going to have to come in with your Matt Stafford jersey.
I get, yeah. Maybe
right over the top of the Dan Fouts jersey that you wear. Just bring it on in.
I actually would love to have a Dan Fouts jersey. Nice 14. I love those Chargers unis. Yes, maybe I can wear the lads, Stafford, bring it in, nice bare midriff shirt.
You and Orlovsky, just all about Matt Stafford today.
Yeah, if anybody didn't see it, Dan Orlovsky, I think, was in the Stafford luxury box yesterday. Boy, was he having a good time. I am impressed that he was in New York in studio this morning.
Yeah. Indy Ben on the text line says, the Wentz decision to potentially move on is mainly a push from Irsay. It's all on Reich for lobbying to sign him, which could eventually cost him his job. Ballard is and always was someone who looks at the big picture on things, so he'll aim to get a quarterback who can last with the Colts. This coming from Indy Ben, who is Team Ballard on this situation.
It's not really an answer, though, Indy Ben.
Yeah. Do you want him to get rid of Wentz or not? I think he does.
Yeah. So you're saying draft then? So they're gonna, because I mean the Titans fans would love that. Yeah. Cut him and then
bring in Desmond Ridder.
Yeah. Bring it or Matt Corral. Yeah. They're just gonna come right in and no. I don't think that's. I think their team is also too ready made to win right now. I understand that you don't want to keep going band aid, but. That's a tough one. It's a tough situation. It's hard when all of a sudden you have run out of sure thing Hall of Famers at the position.
So, Joe, you were reading a couple of breaks ago some interesting odds that are out there for next season and how that pertains to the Titans, obviously, with Joe Burrow coming back next year and the quarterback situation in the AFC. There are not going to be many people picking the Titans to do some damage next year in the AFC, especially when the playoffs come around. I still think they'll be a popular pick to win the AFC South, especially depending on what the Colts do at quarterback. They may be the only pick to win the AFC South, depending on what happens here. But the odds for some of these teams are pretty interesting that you got from our friend Jimmy Shapiro that sends out these odds every time.
Actually, this one is from Josh Barton.
Oh,
so different,
changing it up.
Different book, sportsbetting.ag. Title odds, they got their title odds out earlier than Jimmy.
Wow.
So you're looking at... Who would you guess would be the favorite to win it all next year?
Kansas City.
You are correct. Plus 700. Bills, plus 750. Go ahead, guess the next one. I should let you guess the Bills, too.
I will go... I'll go Rams.
Yep, plus 1,000. And then you start getting into Bengals, Cowboys, Niners, Packers, Broncos.
Yeah.
Plus 1,800. Broncos, which, as you said during the break, has got to be some hedging on Aaron Rodgers.
That's got to be what it is. Like, there's no way. There's no way the Broncos are that high in the AFC without them saying, all right, we're just going to leave this open in case Aaron Rodgers goes there so we don't just get absolutely killed by the sports books here.
Yep. So that one is an eyebrow raiser. Ravens next. The Titans are in the next group. So let me do a count. Like that? Silent radio?
That was good.
So the Titans are tied for 10th. With the Arizona Cardinals and the LA Chargers all at plus 2,200. They are ahead of, on the list, the Colts, Patriots, both at plus 2,500. So that's interesting. I'm trying to think of, like, good value here. I look at the Browns, plus 3,300. I mean, I don't think
–
yeah, but you know what? I mean, look – it's not out of the realm of possibility. All of a sudden, Baker Mayfield gets healthy and has this massive renaissance season, and they have all the health luck that they didn't have this year. They do have a good roster. I mean, it's just from a value perspective, that's not bad. Maybe a little Vikings plus 4,000. Captain Kirk
leading them back.
That's right.
Get the Jim Harbaugh vote of confidence.
Like, what if is it not possible that Aaron Rodgers could be in Pittsburgh? I mean, if we're going to play
it's possible.
Aaron Rodgers wherever, Steelers are plus 5,000.
I mean, that seems like pretty good odds there if he did go there. But I don't think he's going there.
I don't think so either.
I think it's going to be Green Bay, Denver, or retirement. And I really don't give much thought to retirement either. So I think it's going to be Green Bay or Denver.
The Raiders at plus 5,000 also, I would say, you know, they got to the playoffs. They almost beat the Bengals on the road. That's not bad either.
No.
Then you get down to, well, go ahead and give me your guess for longest odds.
Longest odds, I will go Houston Texans.
Yes, tied with?
Detroit.
You got it.
Yeah.
Both of them plus 15,000.
Put some respect on the Jacksonville Jaguars, baby. They're not at the bottom.
I mean, the Jags are – I mean, you got the Jets at plus 12.5, and then the Jags and Giants are plus 10K. So the Jags have got plenty of respect. Dan Campbell.
He's building a program.
I mean, Jared Goff is motivated by this whole thing. You know, trust me. Jared Goff is going to put in the work.
Yeah.
You watch out for those Motor City Kitties.
I've enjoyed the – and Wayne put this out there on Twitter earlier, too, the nice Photoshopped banners of – the Lions banners up there says our former quarterback won a Super Bowl, 21-22.
Raise it to the rafters.
Put that thing up there, baby. The Detroit Rams.
Have you seen
I was
that
not
yet?
Aware of this until you made me aware, and now I'm looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, and they're apparently
that's got to stop.
I mean, how the heck could anyone do this?
I don't know. These you can stores. Buy a Detroit Rams t-shirt for $15.99 on Etsy. So there you go. It's right there for you.
Unbelievable.
Joe, should we get you one?
Yeah. No, but I need to make sure no credit card numbers are floating around my house, because if I see a charge at that on the bank statement, there's going to be some groundings around home.
The Detroit Rams.
It's so dumb. What are you doing?
What's selling out more right now, the Detroit Rams gear or Michigan Panthers with Jeff Fisher?
I'm going to buy Michigan Panthers gear.
You should.
Absolutely. Not like a Jeff Fisher bobblehead. Although, actually, that wouldn't be bad. If we could get a Jeff Fisher bobblehead in his Panther. We've got a Jeff Fisher bobblehead in his Titans shirt. Get a Michigan Panthers Jeff Fisher. A little bit more salt, you know, than pepper. Yeah.
Shane from Ashland City texting in says, imagine cutting an elite wide receiver because you thought he was the problem, and then watch him blow up the Rams offense this year, and you have to watch him on TV winning a Super Bowl. Why you cry? This is coming from Shane from Ashland City.
I'm thinking referring Shane to OBJ. I'm thinking Shane doesn't like the Browns too much, huh?
Yeah.
Did you see the ESPN graphic, by the way?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to find this. So ESPN tweeted out something like, "Hey, the Rams won the Super Bowl," and they have like pictures of like a Browns player, a Lions player, and then somebody else, like the backs watching them, like they're like sadly watching them win a Super Bowl. I'll find it for you. It's very weird.
Did you see the tweet where it was like OBJ's dad MVP of the Super Bowl or something like that? Because remember at the beginning of the year when he broke down all the footage?
Oh, yeah.
When he Baker Mayfield didn't there. Throw it to OBJ. Well,
here's how bad Baker Mayfield sucks. That ball was 4 yards over his head. It's good stuff from OBJ's dad.
That was very
probably made
good.
His son a lot of money in the long run. Yeah. He played pretty well. Now, if he's torn his ACL again, that's not good.
No.
Because that would be 2 years in a row.
That makes it tougher because he very much was raising his market value.
We'll continue the conversation. Take more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Darren McFarland coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour as well. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 in the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Had some technical difficulties on that front earlier. Those have since been sorted out. Thanks
Shout
to our
out,
fearless
Chase.
Leader, Chase McCabe.
Shout out to Chase.
Fixing problems left and right. That's what he does.
A lot more tech savvy than me.
Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ronnie texting in says, I'm with you, Joe. Stafford is good enough to get in, and I personally think he should. I think people hold the Lions against him, and that's not fair. There's no way that Rivers should get in over him, and I would take him over Eli as well. So Ronnie is Team Rexroad in this argument. Leaving behind Team Stillman and Team Curtis.
Like, I would – that's the thing. Look, Phillip Rivers, very good player. Phillip Rivers also was on a lot of very good teams. Again, he was part of that. But I just – trust me. You have to trust me on some things. The Lions organization is a complete bleep show, okay? And I think that this run is huge for Stafford. Now, I would put Eli Manning ahead of him still. With the two, and again, who he beat. You said that earlier in the show. And, you know, he had a good career. But they are similar in the whole, they at the time of their, their playing careers, they were not considered among the best. But I agree with what you said earlier. Like, right now, I think Matthew Stafford is. He's not Rodgers, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow. Is Burrow there, right there in that
Burrow's
group now?
Burrow's pretty close.
Pretty close.
I mean, he did just beat Burrow head-to-head, but Burrow's also running for his life.
Right. But he's right after that, is he not?
Yeah.
So, Brady obviously retired, at least for now. So, and, yeah, the graphic, by the way, we're talking about someone texted on the text line, but it's an actual picture of Beckham and Stafford on the podium last night. And then it's like this graphic with the backs of Jarvis Landry in a Browns uniform, Eli Manning in a Giants uniform, and Calvin Johnson in a Lions uniform looking at them, I guess, sadly.
Like reaching out.
Yeah. We want to be out there with you.
By the way, Eli Manning's won 2 Super Bowls. So.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure Eli Manning is just so torn up that Beckham, won a ring. I mean, now Calvin may feel, Calvin Johnson, unfortunately, one of those great players who was still great while with the Lions, but that limited what he could do on a bigger stage.
So Aaron Donald last night obviously made 2 of the plays of the game on the 3rd and 4th down that shut down the Bengals' chances to win. Aaron Donald has been the elite player on the defensive side of the ball for years now in the National Football League, apparently considering retirement after this. He's only 30. He'll be 31 in May. Obviously, I feel like he's got some years of good football left in him. Were you surprised when we heard that maybe Aaron Donald would be considering retirement? And let's say he makes that decision. Where does he go down, even if it's a shorter career, where does he go down in terms of maybe the best defensive players that we've seen? Because I talked about this earlier. I mean, there have been some great defensive players that I've seen, and I was not around when LT was out there doing his thing. But I've seen Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Reggie White and all these different guys, Bruce Smith. There's a ton of different guys you can name out there. Aaron Donald might be the best player on defense I've ever seen. Where does he rank for you?
Yeah, I think no, he's certainly, like, if I was doing an all defense team of my football watching life, easily he's on it. I think he's on the all-time team of any kind of all-time team that you want to make. I mean, I think Lawrence Taylor, I know it's an obvious answer, but I'm sorry. I mean, Lawrence Taylor has got to be number one for me. He's just, you know, he was doubled, tripled, and it didn't matter. Unblockable, coming, you know, move, lining up all over the place, pick sixes, sacks, and just a complete wrecking ball of a player. I mean, Reggie White to me, and Bruce Smith, but Reggie White, a little bit higher level to me, right there. And I feel Aaron Donald compares him to me. I know that, you know, Reggie White's a defensive end, but he was a guy who was just so powerful, along with his speed and his hands, and such a playmaker. And Aaron Donald is just a freak. And that's where he reminds me of LT, just in terms of, you know, he's just different. Yeah, like no one else can do exactly what he does. So he'd be right there on that team. I guess who else would be on there? I mean, Deion Sanders would be on there at corner. Probably Ed Reed.
Brooks Reed.
On there. You know. Or Ed and Brooks Reed, yeah. Actually. What a combo. You coordinate the pass rush and pass defense. But, no, Aaron Donald is tremendous. I can't blame him if he does decide to do it. I hope he doesn't, for the world that likes football's sake. But,
well, it's pretty apparent that he wanted this so bad, and now that you've got it, I mean, sometimes, you know, everybody's wired a little bit differently, but sometimes, I mean, there are people out there that once you accomplish the thing that you've been looking to accomplish, you're like, okay, well, what's next?
Go out on top.
Like, what do I do now? Yeah. So I don't know if – look, he's only 30. Like, if you told me that Aaron Donald was still dominant 5 years from now, like, yep. Probably could be.
And certainly two or three.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. He's still – I mean, and if he leaves, I mean, that, to me, pretty drastically changes what the Rams are on that side of the ball.
Oh, no
doubt. I mean, just look at how much attention they spent yesterday trying to make sure that Aaron Donald didn't wreck the game, and then he ends up wrecking the game anyway. Now, I know that Bengals' offensive line sucks, but Aaron Donald is just a force of nature out there. Like, really, to go back and watch the replays, and I can't remember, I think it was the third down play, right before the fourth down. Which, that's what happens. Third down comes fourth down.
You are
every day's a day. But he's like holding the lineman off with one hand, with his right hand, and basically just like waiting on the running back to get there. Like, they're trying to block him. He's like, no, I'm just going to give you the forearm shiver right there. It's not happening. And then he makes the play. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, like if you actually just take some time, you know, next time you watch a Rams game, if he plays, or you go back and watch a replay, just watch him, because obviously you're used to just watching the ball. Just watch him and what he's doing to blockers. Actually, you can do the same thing with Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
You know, if Aaron Donald is to leave, who is Jeffrey Simmons the best interior defensive lineman in the NFL?
I think he's got a strong case.
He's got a case for it. And that's the same thing. If you just watch Jeffrey Simmons for stretches of games, you'll see him just throw block, whether he makes a play or not, just throw blockers around. But not number 67 for the Bengals, who he was trying to avoid.
Yes. Avoid Quentin Spain at all costs.
I don't want to tangle with this guy.
This guy signed a one-year, $1.05 million deal. Can't handle him. Oh, boy. I love the Jeffrey Simmons, Quentin Spain stuff on
Twitter.
Keep
it going, guys. Keep it going. Just keep going. Keep it going.
Keep going. Andrew texting in, what about Warren Sapp on the all-time team? Warren Sapp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I mean, that's the thing. I'm gonna forget some people, right?
Sure.
I mean, who am I forgetting at, you know, like an inside linebacker?
Urlacher.
He's good. Yeah, he was. That's a good call. But, yeah, Warren Sapp, he had a stretch there where he was as unblockable as anyone, and he was a big part of the first ring in Tampa Bay. Good call.
What does this mean for Joe Burrow? Obviously, like, everybody expects them to be back there multiple times as they go forward here. And as we've learned with Kansas City, like, it's not always that easy. Like, I thought Kansas City, not only in the immediate aftermath of their first Super Bowl win, but just watching them play the next year, I was like, my goodness, they're going to roll off three or four in a row here and win Super Bowls left and right. And they've just got the one. Now, they got back to one last year and, quite honestly, kind of choked one away getting there this year. But they still have won one Super Bowl during this stretch here. Now the next challenge for Joe Burrow is trying to find a way to get back here. You feel good about their young core. Also feel like if you're the Bengals, there's maybe a sense of urgency to try to get this done while both he and Ja'Marr Chase are on their rookie deals, because the two of them here in the next few years are going to cost an absolute ton of money against the cap. I know the cap's going up. That's great. Those two are going to make a lot of money.
Well, but yeah, no doubt. And that's the great thing about being the Bengals right now is the fact that you have those guys in their rookie deals, both of them. You got to take advantage of that because, yes, it's gonna change things. You should be able to invest in your offensive line, your defense. Keep getting better. All right, what happened?
Michelle's got a box of candy in there.
Oh, okay.
Bud gave us Valentine's. You guys will get yours after. Shout out, Bud. Oh, what the heck? You already got yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I feel.
We scooped you.
Yeah, we did.
You guys are like, I already have mine.
Yeah. Actually, I just assumed that you had one in there, too. Yeah.
Best for last.
You know what happens when you assume? There's a saying that goes with that. Yeah, anyway, back to Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah. Yeah, they're on rookie deals, and that's a good thing. And you should be able to invest in the offensive line and your defense and keep together that group. You know, that entire skill group is just really good. It could be the NFL's clear best collection of skill talent for years to come. As great as the trio of Mahomes, Hill, and Kelce is, man, I'd put that whole group above it. Because, again, Mixon is a guy no one ever talks about. Really good player.
By the way, why is he not in there on the third and one and fourth and one last night? I know P. Ryan's more of the power back, but you didn't give him the ball. So why is he in there on the fourth down?
It's a fair question. Also, I still haven't seen a replay from the perspective of the Burrow pass. I felt like a diving catch attempt could have been made there.
Yeah.
But close. Maybe the depth perception was bad. By the way, I'm looking at the NFL all-time team. So this came out a couple years ago, so it's all-time. But really, you know, like inside linebackers, like it's all, you know, Butkus and Jack Lambert, guys like that. Like there's Junior Seau is the only, like, player that I watched who's in there, which is interesting. Outside linebacker.
Ray Lewis? There's no Ray Lewis?
Oh. I'm dumb.
Yes. I was about to say.
Yeah.
He's not on the team?
And, of course, and by the way, why would I not have thought of him anyway? Yeah. Ray Lewis is on there. Sorry. Hey, don't, you know, I'm just trying to read words that are right in front of my face. Outside linebacker. Again, it's mostly older guys like Bednarik and Jack Ham. But Derek Brooks is another one that certainly merits mentioning. Interior D lineman, mostly older guys. John Randall is a good call there, though. And, of course, this was 2 years ago. Aaron Donald isn't on there. He would be now. Defensive end, it's, you know, Deacon Jones, you know, Leroy Salmon. But, yeah, the two guys, Bruce Smith and Reggie White, were as dominant edge, you know, defensive ends as I've ever seen and may ever see. I mean, they were both just absolutely unstoppable.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donica Chase. We'll get his thoughts on the Super Bowl and the Predators as well. Big week coming up for the Nashville Predators. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.